After being filled with the Holy Spirit at his baptism, Jesus is led to the wilderness. Through his responses to temptations of the devil, he defines what it means to be called the Son of God. The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the fourth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I will give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. Grace and peace to you from our nourishment, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Temptation. Temptation is at the theme of our gospel lesson. Temptation is at the center, I think, in our lives in many and various ways. Temptation in my own household looks like a little thumb that wants to be in its mouth. Temptation looks like a loving spouse who keeps crackers in your mouth, yes. But we're stopping that, aren't we? They listen. Temptation is a wife keeping emergency crackers and snacks hidden for a hangry husband. Because Lord knows fasting for 40 days would not go well with me. I can't even imagine what that would look like. I've read on fasting. They say after 2 or 3 days, the hunger pains go away, but I don't think I can make it more than 2 or 3 hours. And so we have Jesus, these 40 days in the wilderness, led there by the Spirit. He's tempted, he's tested, he fasts the whole time, and he's left famished. And it's after this prolonged period in the wilderness without food, the devil shows up with 3 big tests. These tests get at something very immediate in Jesus' own state at that point. First, this loaf of bread, his immediate need of eating food. Next, the temptation of authority, promising all the nations of the world, all the kingdoms. And then finally, this testing of God, that if you truly are the Son of God, surely you can throw yourself from the top of this temple and nothing will happen. It's no accident that these temptations, these tests, the brunt of the challenges come near the end of Jesus' time in the wilderness. He's exhausted. He's famished, as our text says. And it is set in as the reality of what's going on. 40 days. 40 days is a long time. And in biblical terms, that's exactly what it's getting at. We hear of 40 being this length of time of words throughout our scriptures. 40 years the Israelites wandered in the desert. 40 is a long length of time. In our own experiences, in our own immediate lives, we know this long time. Yes, it might be 40 days, it might be endless months, it might be something that takes years or even longer. These long periods of time in our own experiences, in which it feels like everything that has gone wrong possibly does and has. Bills, debt continue to pile up with no end in sight. We're dissatisfied with work and lose sleep, even thinking about going in the next morning. We experience the ceaseless end of family drama. Our country, our world is a dysfunctional mess. We experience broken relationships and strained friendships. Our medical conditions that just won't improve. We get to a point where we've had enough. We're drained mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. And that's where the brunt of temptation mounts its attack. When we're starved for relief and ready to say the heck with it all. Whether it's the temptation to quit our job, cut off the family member or friend who annoys us, seek out that unhealthy thing for a quick fix, or even to call it quits altogether and walk away without looking back. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is here with us at the end of our own rope, because Jesus has been there himself. 40 days of enduring a lot and without food. In our own experiences, we too left hangry, tired, fed up, and really, truly tempted to take advantage of the options the devil puts before us. Temptation, whatever your association with that is, some view it as a physical being, some mental, ego, whatever that is for you, this temptation is a common understood, it is commonly understood to be a drawing into something, into sin. But I think about it a little bit differently than that. I think rather than being drawn into the act of sin, I think temptation is something that intends to draw us away from God. Now maybe you're thinking these are just semantics, but when we think about sin and sin at its most basic understanding, sin is anything and everything that aims to separate us from God. It gets in the way between us and God. Therefore, temptation aims to pull us away from God, trying to distract us from whose we are, ultimately distorting in our minds who we are, who we belong to, that is, who we have been named, God's beloved child. Jesus understands our exhaustion because he's been there and is there when we reach those moments of burnout and temptation to give in to whatever it might be. Those temptations of the quick fix, our lows into rocks, the unhealthy coping mechanisms we use to get us through a difficult situation. The temptation of the fast track, disregarding God's call for our own aspirations, for the easy trip, the easy way to the top. And third, the temptation of the ultimatum, reducing our relationship with God to an if-then, as if God can be tested or bargained with. And I want to make a very clear distinction here. This is different than desperation. Ultimatums and desperations are very different things. Jesus knew this temptation firsthand, and it is a universal truth, experience that you and I have throughout our lives. But brothers and sisters, take heart, take peace, take grace, knowing that we are not expected to get it right every time, just as Jesus did. We certainly don't. We know this firsthand. We have the moments of faithful response right along the moments of giving in. The good news is that Jesus has been there and is there with us, especially when we reach the end of our own rope, and so that we can learn, and so what can we learn from Jesus' responses? What might we take away and embrace as his resistance? Jesus' first response: one does not live by bread alone. Is an invitation to go do something that fills you with joy. Connect with a friend. Do something that is creative. Get out of your office, out of your head. Take a walk. Whatever it is that gives you joy, do it. Joy is a sure sign of God's kingdom present and active in our lives. To the second temptation, Jesus responds, "Worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Fill your hearts, your minds, your souls with God's truth of love. Know it, use it, embrace it as Jesus did. Choose to trust in God's promises for you. God has brought you along the way to this moment, to the here and now, and isn't going to drop you on your face and let you be. Believe that you are beloved. You are called. You are enough. And to the third temptation, Jesus says, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." Faithfully resist the temptation to do less or other than what God has called you to do. God has given you everything you need to fulfill that purpose for which you were given, to be part of God's work in the world. Pray regularly for God to guide and direct your paths. And as Paul says in our Romans text today, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to do, to will, and to work for God's good pleasure. Not working out your salvation in a sense of that if I do the right thing, God will be happy with me. But working out in the sense of inviting God into into our already present lives, acknowledging God's presence, looking for those little glimpses of the kingdom. Salvation here in Paul's text is not what we think it is. It's not that ever life that we hope for once we die. The context of Paul's letter is very different. Paul is talking here about faithfulness to a group of Christians who are not being faithful. He quotes texts from Deuteronomy that are not about going to heaven, but rather about going into the land of milk and honey. God is talking about that which God has prepared for us in our lives now, guiding us into our own lands of milk and honey, our own destination, seeking God's guidance through prayer to be able to come to that place, because God is there with us, guiding us along the way. This walk, this following Jesus, is fully beautiful, it's fully challenging, and it's fully strange journey that we embark on. It's a calling that at times leaves us feeling wiped out, starving for nourishment. God's call, always good. God's call, while always good, is rarely easy. It leaves us famished. But it's not one in which we do alone. God's Spirit guides us along the way. Just as God's Spirit was with Jesus in the wilderness, Jesus makes that same promise to you and me before leaving this earth, of the advocate, the one who remains with us through all. That Spirit provides guidance. That Spirit provides every need. The spiritual food, the wisdom, the companions, humility, and even the rest we need along that journey. And so, brothers and sisters, as we reflect upon these temptations, Jesus' responses, and ways that we can embark and live into the witness Christ has left, knowing that we are not perfect and that we do screw up, but God loves us anyway. I share with you a prayer written by Thomas Merton, one that I hope gives you comfort and grace as it does for me. My Lord God, I have no idea where I am going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end, nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think I am following your will does not mean that I am actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road. Though I may know nothing about it, therefore I will trust you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. Amen.